Good evening and welcome to 10 by 9, where 9 people have up to 10 minutes each to tell a true story from their own life. Tonight, our theme is night. She's a 10 by 9 regular and she's a joy. So please, a big warm welcome for Pat Scott.
I heard the snap of the letterbox and the noise of something falling to the floor. As I lifted the post, there was a brochure advertising the Eastside Festival. This was a series of cultural, entertainment and musical events which are held annually in East Belfast. As I read through the programme, one event caught my eye. It was storytelling. Reading down through the blurb, I found out that it was being run by an organisation that looked like 10 times 9. I thought it was an odd name, but hey, each to their own. There were very few details about it except the venue and that although it was free, you needed a ticket to get in. Sadly, it had been stamped as sold out. Not deterred by this challenge, I suggested to my husband we should go. I was brought up on the border in South Armagh, where there's still a strong storytelling culture, so this was everything that I loved and was familiar with. I wasn't going to let a small problem like not having a ticket put me off. My husband was concerned about the fact that it was sold out, but it was being held in our local hotel, the Park Avenue, God rest her soul. The staff there had always been pleasant and laid back, so I was certain that we could blag our way in. As a fully paid up rule keeper, he was uneasy with this suggestion. But I'm from Bandit Country, where we're inclined to view laws and rule keeping with a more flexible approach and a view that they're always open to interpretation. He wasn't convinced, and as we walked up to the Park Avenue, he was strident in his insistence that if there was any blagging to be done, it was going to be me. The whole situation was clearly disturbing his moral compass. We found the function room, and with my husband hanging back in the foyer, I joined the melee. Sure enough, with all the attendees crowding through the door, I was able to fall into step beside a ticket holder and get through the door. A little while later, after getting my, "It's fine, come on in," text, my husband slipped in and joined me. It took a while for him to relax and lose the worried look off his face, as though he was about to get his collar felt by the storytelling police. We settled down to 9 entertaining and moving stories and were impressed with the wholehearted support that the audience showed to the speakers. I was a convert. I also found out it wasn't called 10 times 9. Fast forward through the COVID years and I saw that 10 by 9 was being held in the black box with a theme, Pride and Prejudice. I was excited. This was my favourite book. I couldn't quite work out the logistics of how there were going to be 9 stories about the book, though. Would the storytellers be drawing parallels between their lives and the intense relationship of Elizabeth Bennet and the imperious Mr. Darcy? Or more salacious stories of elopements of family members who resembled flirtatious Lydia and the bounder George Wickham? Or maybe it was going to be extended to the complete works of Jane Austen. The list of possibilities was endless, and the thought of it had me past myself with happiness. This was going to be a night to remember. I wasn't going to take my husband with me, as he wouldn't want to endure all the drama and romance, but I knew immediately who I would invite along, a friend who was a teacher. She too would enjoy a literary evening with one of the classics at the heart of it. As we queued outside the black box, I was surprised at how many fellow Austen fans there were in Belfast and how brightly dressed some of them were. We looked pretty mundane and wondered if we should have come in 18th century outfits with tight bodices and floaty skirts. But although no one was actually dressed like that, there was definitely a sense that the majority of people, both in the line and walking around, were dressed up. I had a feeling I was missing part of a jigsaw, but couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. The time flew in as we were already being entertained without even going into the venue, and soon we were filing into the black box for the very first time. It had been well named, as it was so dark and atmospheric. The room was filled with little tables. I thought it could have been given more of an elegant oldie world vibe by dressing the tables with lace cloths and little posies of flowers. But even though the organiser had missed this trick, it still felt very civilised and part of a bygone era. I looked around and to my amazement saw that instead of the usual rugby scrum at the bar, with tall men shouting over the shoulders of us smaller people, everyone wanting a drink had formed an orderly queue. This really was very civilised and Austin-esque. We made our way to a table and I started to look around and saw striped multicoloured decorations hanging from the ceiling. The screen had the words Pride and Prejudice on it, and as I looked at it, a thought started to trickle into my memory of an item that I had heard on the news. It was Pride Week in Belfast. I had a dawning realisation that I had misunderstood the theme of the evening to an alarming degree. All my life I've been accused of not noticing details and of ram-stamming into situations without really thinking them through, but this took the biscuit. I had now slipped from the not noticing detail category into the bit on the thick side spectrum. I broke the news to my friend and we laughed nervously, not knowing what the evening had in store for us. In the dim lighting, I noticed the doors being closed and the curtains being drawn over the door. I was immediately transported back to a holiday in Portugal when I had bought tickets for my husband and I to go to a dinner in Cabaret. True to form, I hadn't inquired about the details of the evening, so when the meal was over, I was expecting a Portuguese version of the Royal Variety performance. When the bouncers had locked the doors to the room and pulled blackout curtains over all the windows, I had become suspicious and a little nervous. What followed would take a lot of explaining, but suffice to say that I was shocked by the speed and directions that nipple tassels could go. And by the men's costumes, which could best be described as tiny tea cosies. With these thoughts racing through my mind, the room, which a moment before had been dark and atmospheric, now took on a slightly sinister feel. Were we being locked in for a strip show? Something that could be described as a gay version of the Devonish. I tried to calm my overactive imagination by chatting to the two lovely guys that we were sharing a table with. They engaged us in plenty of crack, and it turned out one of them was speaking. What about? I asked, still feeling at a loss about what the event held in store. But before he could tell us anything, we were called to order by a handsome gentleman with a silky, seductive voice and disarming smile. What followed were nine stories of people from all walks of life who shared their experiences of coming out to family, friends, church members and workmates. The subject matter was different from those faced in the Georgian era, but three centuries on, and the challenges sounded very similar. The prejudice, the blind guarding of social norms, the intolerance of anything that's viewed as being different, each of these being navigated and endured in the quest to find love. The Pride and Prejudice evening may not have fulfilled my thirst for all things Jane Austen, but what it did was show me that there's nothing new under the sun and that some challenges span time. It was indeed a night to remember and one that has influenced me ever since. It also made me realise that in the now famous scene where Mr. Darcy emerges from the lake in his wet, figure-hugging breeches and shirt, that there may have been more than just the ladies with racing pulses.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, Pat, you are unbelievable. Nipple tassels. You've actually just given me an idea for next month. I like to make an effort for our Christmas event.